And they went to visit this witch, the woman of Endor. He disguised himself as someone else. And they knocked on the door of this woman at night and came in. And he said, I want you to bring up Samuel. I want to talk with him. Strange passage of scripture. This woman did, by the power of darkness, she was able to communicate with Samuel. And Samuel, and I'm not sure exactly what will happen there, but the point I want to make is that Samuel said, tomorrow you'll be dead. And then the woman realized that this was Saul, which had tried to kill all the witches, and the story goes on, but the point I want to make there is that Saul, through disobedience, opened himself up to demonic activity. The end result was going to a witch to hear, to find out, to find that hidden knowledge of tomorrow. And she was able to tell him something through the power of darkness. Yes, it's possible. People today are still going to witches, and they're still finding out about tomorrow and the next day and so forth. Are they always true? No, sometimes it's not. I don't understand how all those things work. I don't want to touch them. I don't want to go into them. Not at all. Stay clear. Saul died the next day. An example of a man who had walked with God. An example of a man who through disobedience opened the door into his life for demonic activity. Let us beware. He used those dark powers, but he fell the next day. Society is permeated with it today. Cultic societies, Masons, Mormons, many religions are very demonic, occultic, Eastern religions, New Age, Buddhists, Islamic, many others. Likewise, Japanese religions and most other religions are filled with darkness and demonic things. Basically, sorcery is using evil spirits to gain power or the unknown or for protection. Acts chapter 8, verse 9, there was a certain man called Simon, which aforetime in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria. Now look at this. Giving out that himself was some great one. This was his means of making himself known to be a great person. See the thirst for power? See the thirst for dominion? In Acts 13, we have Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation. He withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And then also in Acts 16, verse 16, we have Paul there. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought our masters much gain by soothsaying. These men had taken this girl, and she had the power of evil spirits upon her, and soothsaying was simply saying, being able to say things or foretell things and maybe what people like to hear or so forth, I don't know, but she brought her masters much gain, and this how they made their profit. And she was following Paul, and she's the one that said, these are the men of God and so forth. And Paul turned around and he rebuked her there, and which brought about a great reaction and so forth. Let's look at some of these words yet before we go on. We have witchcraft is simply the practice of sorcery. One of the root words of witchcraft is pharmakia, the Greek word is, where we get our word pharmacy from. And so basically what a witch doctor is, or what witchcraft is, many times they will take potions and mix them. And they're known as a witch doctor. They're the healing man. They're the medicine man. And American Indians used to have a medicine man. He was the witch doctrine. There's just almost every primitive tribe, this is what they have. They have these medicine men. And these men will take potions, they'll mix them. And yes, does that mean herbs are no good to be used? No. Does that mean we should be afraid of herbs? No. We can use herbs. But when you use those herbs and you include incantations or the power of Satan and darkness to try to heal these people, that's when it becomes witchcraft or evil. I looked up the Greek word for the word divination. The word divination is the Greek word Python, where we get the meaning python. Python. I was down at a good store yesterday morning, took the children down there, they had a little zoo there, and some camels and Jacob's sheep, which had four horns, and they had different kind of exotic animals, kangaroos and so forth there, were giving camel rides, and they had all these, had a couple of snakes that had four big pythons. One of them weighed 75 pounds, and this man's this big python around his body. A python is a snake that takes its prey and squeezes the life out of it, and then eats it. That's where the word divination comes from. That's what the Greek word for divination is, python, is puthon or python. And if anybody is involved in divination, it will squeeze the life out of you. That's the picture of divination. What is divination? Divination is using a medium or an evil spirit to gain knowledge or power. Divination is used in many, many ways. People do it to discern what's wrong. What we call quack doctors or health doctors, and I say doctors who have not been to college, doctors who are not affirmed as properly having learned in the United States especially, but there are many, many doctors around. They are herbal doctors. They give herb doctors and so forth. Be careful of those things. Be careful. Very, very careful. Yes, does that mean you can't go to the health food store and buy some herbs and things? No, it doesn't mean that. But this thing is so deeply entrenched in almost every kind of health doctor, may I say. Doctors who have been through college and have a doctor's degree, or chiropractors, many of them are using the powers of darkness to strengthen or to gain more power, to become more effective in the area of ministering to your body. Many places today, that they'll be holistic type doctors, or they'll have signs out that say body, soul, and mind, and they're out there to minister to your body, to your soul, and to your mind. Beware. Whenever you go to a doctor or a chiropractor who is pretending or who is trying to minister to your spiritual soul, unless you know the man well, unless you trust the man, unless you know his background, be very, very careful. I believe many people are being snared by entering into, getting caught up with a chiropractor who does strange things, or even doctors who do strange things. Be careful, my brothers and sisters. These things are reality. This Eastern religion, this Eastern mysticism, all those things are entering into the field of medicine today, and they're becoming more and more intertwined. And it's difficult, may I say, to find doctors and chiropractors that you know are on the right track. Does that mean I should be afraid to go to the hospital and have a need? Not at all. Not at all. That's fear. We're not living under fear. But just be wise. Just be wise. Divination is the using of, oftentimes they'll use something, and I don't want anyone to learn how to do this, but they'll put something on a string and hold it over your body, and this thing's supposed to somehow tell them by how it goes around and what it does or doesn't do, whether you need this kind of medicine or whether you need this kind of pills, and they'll have you hold pills in one hand, and they'll try to push your hand, other arm down, and they'll say, if these are the pills that are good for you, then you'll have strength, and you won't be able to push his arm down. And, you know, if this is not the right kind, then you can push the arm down. All those kind of things. I tell you, it's divination. beware. Reflexology. Is all reflexology wrong? I don't say so, but I believe it's dangerous. And this is how I look at a lot of these things on a scale of 1 to 10. Okay? You start at 1, and if you've gone up to 10 in more power and strength and so forth, you become more efficient in this thing. You get more knowledge and so forth. Just at the time that, a little before we got I got converted, I had gotten some books on reflexology, and I was just entering into that reflexology, and yes, it works. I was at a level of here. But the person above me had gone to several classes numerous times. She was probably up to here in this level of reflexology. And the next time she came to our house, lovingly, meaning well, helping us with our sick children, taking their feet in her hands and treating them, and my wife and so forth, and I, right after we got converted, she came over and she began to do this. And she had in her hand a little wooden roller about this long. It's the first time I had seen her with that. I said, "What's that?" "Oh," she said, "it gives me more, makes it more effective. Goes deeper, gets more of the pain out." She's rubbing that over her feet and so forth. And I just began to, because I just got delivered from witchcraft. I just got delivered from water witching and so forth. At my conversion, I was just very, very sensitive. And I just said, "What is this?" "Oh, it makes it more effective, you know." "Okay, fine." And she had just gone to another class. At this class, they had taught her, and she moved up another step, and now she had more power. And I was like, whoa. But you know what? It's hard to step in there when that nice lady, that chiropractor is doing this thing on you. It's hard. It takes a lot of guts to step right in there and say, "Stop. Stop what you're doing. Let me out of this room." That takes a lot of guts to do that. It takes a lot of strength. But if you're totally ignorant, you might have some questions about it. Well, fine. I guess others come here too, yeah. No, I should say be very, very careful. At the same time, this lady was treating the feet and just going, "Burp, burp, burp." I said, "Why are you burping?" "Oh," she said, "I'm drawing the pain out of the child's foot and absorbing it in myself, and then that's how I'm exhaling. I'm getting it out." And I thought, whoa, no, this is spiritual for sure. These are the kind of things that are happening today. Don't ever go to someone who was a question mark on witchcraft. Divination. And lots of these quack doctors, they're using divination to gain the knowledge of what is wrong. Okay? Is it your liver? Is it your pancreas? Is it your heart? Is it this? And they'll do all these kind of manipulations to find out what really is wrong. And then they'll tell you, "Oh, this is what's wrong with you, and now here are the pills for you to take." And that's where they make their money. Be careful. Be careful. I would say don't go there. Hypnotism. It's simply putting someone in a trance in order to gain insights. Hopefully they'll say things that when they're in a trance. That's what hypnotism is. As small boys, you know, went to visit our neighbors and for the first time, and these boys, they were kind of rowdy, and we were all upstairs playing around, and they began to talk about hypnotizing each other. "What's that?" And they would say how they hypnotized this person, that person. He had a lot of super strength and did all this, and they all were laughing. Be careful. Be careful. You can go to these dairy seminars, or you can go to the farming seminars, or whatever it may be, and they'll get some comedian up there who's going to entertain the people. And guess what he'll do? He's a hypnotist. And he had a row of men, four men sitting up here on chairs, and by a certain word, one of the men would jump because he was pricked by a pin on his seat. And of course, the audience laughed. This guy's doing it. He's making the others jump. And somehow he had the power to make those men jump by the prick of a pin. Comedians? Yeah. Be careful. All these things are out there. They're ready to... I mean, you can go to one of these meetings You can sit there, watch what happens. You can know that it's wrong and laugh at it. And you think, oh, well, it won't affect me. It won't affect me. Yes, it will. Taken captive by Him at His will because you submitted yourself to something. This is all over. It's all around. Charming. Wizards. Wizards, one known to have lots of wisdom beyond the norm. Necromancer. One that consults with the dead. Yes, they pretend to speak with the dead. Take your picture there to this necromancer and say, this is my grandmom. I'd like to talk with her once again. She died 5 years ago. Okay, come on in. You know how to deal with that. You can go in there and you can talk to your grandmom. It's her voice. She knows the things that the grandmom knew and all so forth. It is simply communicating with evil spirits. That's what it is. And you take part in anything like that, you will have a hook in your life which will never come out unless you repent of it. Water witching. Innocent little boys watching what granddad does and then picking up that pliers, that stick, and walking over the same place to the ground. Innocent? Yes. Captivated? Yes. Partakers of it. They partook of it. That's how it works. You can find it in the movies. I haven't been there, though. But if you ever watch TV, it's there. Millions and millions of children captivated by the television daily. What are they watching? Awful, horrid, wicked, immoral, demonic creatures daily. It's awful. And now they're portraying them on the cereal boxes. It's all around. Books by the millions, such as Harry Potter. Out of curiosity, it's a popular book. The world is crazy about it. What does it say? Why is that book so popular? I'd like to read that. I hope no one here has read that book. Or the series of those books. They are horrible. And they will put a hook into your life once again. Curiosity. What were those books called in Ephesus there? They had that big bonfire. What were those books called? Curious arts. Curious. Things that make you curious. Witchcraft, it makes people curious. They want to know, what is it? And they want to go around this corner. So, okay, they know it's evil, but I'm curious. I'm going to take a look at it. Just one time. But if you do that knowing better, you are in grave danger. Grave danger. Games. Dungeons and Dragons. Your Ouija board. Today there's multi-games on the stores and so forth. And pinball machines are demonic and... I mean, there's all kinds of things out there. There needs to be a holy desire in our hearts. There needs to be a holy fear of God in our hearts. That whenever we walk up to something like that, it will be an abomination to us. That's what needs to be in our hearts. There needs to be discernment and wisdom, which clearly says, this thing is evil, and I will not allow it to affect me in any way. And to have that happen, you have to turn away from it. Purposely. Resist that thing in the name of Jesus. I remember visiting a place where the person was believed to be involved in witchcraft majorly. They were coming here to church regularly. They loved the singing that sat in the back bench Sunday after Sunday. Their married daughter was here. They lived next to them. We knew who the man was. We'd spoken to his life. We warned him. One day, the son and daughter, the daughter and her husband, they had a fellowship at their place. We were invited to go there. So we went there, and of course this the father-in-law was there for lunch. And he was starting to talk about these, you know, those things in the telephone poles, what do you call them? Transformers. He was telling the story about how this last week one of the transformers down the road blew. The electric company came out and they were going up and down the road for an hour or more trying to figure out which transformer it was. Well, I could have told them right up front which one it was. I knew which one it was. He said, there's all this power flowing through the air. All this stuff. And I was like, okay, I know who you are. I'm like this. And this man just continued on talking. And finally I asked him, I said, he said, the only thing that can hinder this kind of power is the Christian praying. And I'm like, this guy has the nerve to say that. What does he think I am? Who does he think I am? I mean, he was outright, he was bold. And then he's telling me how that he uses his divining rods, may I tell you, and just divines over everything. And actually, there was a picture in the paper of him with his, he had numerous big chicken houses and he ended up with salmonella in his eggs in New York Market. And he's shown the front page with his divining rods over his chicken house, and he's the one who had salmonella in his eggs. Anyhow, he's telling about these rods. He said, this is what we do. We go to the grocery store, my wife goes grocery shopping, we bring all the groceries home, put them on the table, and then we divine over them, and we turn the polarity of this power from a negative to a positive. Now, I think, you know what? I'm not afraid of that kind of thing. I bring groceries home, I put them in the shelf, and I eat them. I'm not afraid of negative and positive things. That's what it does. It brings fear. If you have an uncanny sense of fear in your life or your children or your home, deal with it. Witchcraft and divination brings fear into the hearts of those who are involved in it. So he's telling about all these divining rods. Okay. And then he went and picked up his divining rods. Where he had been walked over his house. He picked up his divining rods and came towards me with them. And his divining rods are doing this. And he said, well, yeah, he said, you've got some kind of clothing on you that are, you know, you shouldn't wear wool and cotton together or something like that. And, you know, this thing is conflicting on your body. I had enough. I was sick of it. When we left there, I told my wife, on the way out, we prayed. I just said, Father, that is wickedness. That is sin. That is evil. Wash me in the blood thoroughly from all that stuff. But that's how people get involved. They're curious. Well, how does it work? Okay, show me. No. This stuff, it will take you captive without your specific permission. It will. Toys. Toy store. What do your children play with? What are you picking up at the yard sales? Be careful. Some of those things are cursed. What about dolls? Specific dolls. Cabbage patch dolls. They have specific names, registered names. What are the names? You can't understand them. They're Indonesian. They're Indian names, maybe I'm going to say. They're names of heathen gods and so forth. These dolls are wickedness. But what are they? They're the new craze. This is probably 15 years ago. How many remember the Cabbage Patch doll craze? Wow, look at that. Very, very dangerous. Stories of malnourished children in the United States going to the doctor. The doctor can't figure out what's wrong with them. He can't figure out why they're not. I mean, they're eating lots of food, but the food is not sticking. It just goes right through them. And they're just malnourished. And they end up finding out that the meaning of the name means malnourishment of that doll. That's the kind of stuff. Now, let me give you a word of advice. How can I tell if something like that is evil? What's that scripture? Says that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. That's a rule of thumb you can keep with you. That which is highly esteemed among men. What's the new craze out there? Cabbage patch. What's next? And you can just, it's the bears, and it's the rainbows, and it's all these little things that somehow hit the craze. It hit that television set, and it's a new craze out there. But why does it become a craze? Somebody behind that thing has paid big money to be able to gain the sales. And they paid big money to the devil or to the devil's agent. They actually make big payments in order to get the blessing of lots of money. And by that, their product is sold. Sometimes it's not just big money, but sometimes it's the sacrifice of a child or so stolen off the streets or somewhere and sacrificed to the gods of that thing. Why? So that I can become great. The thirst for power is there. Witchcraft. Divination. How do you know? How can I know if I'm bound in any way? How can I know if I'm being affected today in any of these things? First of all, people that defend it usually are involved. Much deeper than they realize. How do you know if you're bound? There's a spiritual block in your life, you can't go further. Things like that. How do you know if you're bound? You can't read God's Word, or you can't pray. How do you know if you're bound? There's many things like that. Realities. If there's any kind of a spiritual block in your life like that, don't wait around. Satan wants to take you down that road further. Cry out to God for deliverance and find some help. There is deliverance. There is freedom. But there must be a very clear confession and a very clear repentance of this abomination, because it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Unusual or unexplained activity in the home. Unusual or constant fear. Inability to function properly in normal life. Many of those type of things, they could be the effects of witchcraft, divination, sorcery. Or demonic activity. Little children should never be saying things like, kill Jesus Christ. But it happens. Christians, fathers and mothers, per se. Little child, just tired of a child. Why is this child so terrible? And the child just says things like that. Something's wrong. Something's greatly wrong. Children should be quiet and peaceful. They should have nothing like that happening to them. Beware if children have an unusual attraction to those kind of things. Even maybe as adults, you sense that you have an unusual attraction or desire of knowledge of these kind of things. There's a hook there. Somewhere there's a hook in your life. And what happens is if you have that unusual desire or knowledge or an unusual desire to learn more about those things, then when the opportunity presents itself, you will fall headlong into it. And so I would say, fathers and mothers, young people, be careful, be aware. In the streets, in the cities, in the stores, and yes, even at our breakfast table. Isn't that terrible? Lord, help us. One of the best ways to get free from all these things is to confess and repent, and then take any kind of a thing that was used for witchcraft and burn it. Burn it. Don't just throw it in the trash. Don't just take it to a yard sale and resell it. God forbid. Burn it. Make a public burning of anything in this category. That leaves such a testimony of victory. I thank God today for the power of Jesus Christ to set me free from water witching, to set me free from playing with your Ouija board, in innocence. Innocence, well, no, maybe not right, but I did it. And it seemed like those kind of things, they can go into hiding for years. They can go into hiding for 10 years, 20 years. But if they're there, they're affecting you. If they're there, they are affecting you, and they will affect your walk with God. They will affect you in the area of coming to Christ and in the area of living for God. Let's turn yet to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these, do such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They which are involved in such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Ephesians says, for it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Don't be afraid to reprove these kind of practitioners. Don't be afraid to reprove them. Be careful when you go. Even when you go witnessing to the fair or places like that, it's so abundant. Why? It's an easy way to make easy money. To claim to be able to tell you your fortune, and you pay $5 to have your fortune told, and the man holds you $5, he gives you a few words. But it's much more than that. There is placed in your life a hook, like a fish hook. And there's darkness and there's bondage there. And that hook will lead you to something a little bigger. Down the road it goes. It's an abomination to the Lord. Witchcraft of any kind, sorcery, divination of any kind like that is an abomination to the Lord. But God has given us His Son to guide us, to teach us, to tell us how to walk. And we can trust Him every moment of the day for tomorrow, for next week, and for next year. And we can trust Him to hide us in the shadow of the rock, in the cleft of the rock. We can trust Him to cover us under His blood, under His, the wings of the shadow of the Almighty. That's the way the Christian should walk every day of his life. Not afraid. If you have fear in your life, if you have a lot of fear in your life, anyone who's involved in witchcraft and sorcery has a lot of fear in his life. That's how it operates. Rather, God wants you and I to walk circumspectly, fearlessly, in the will of God. He has given us His Son. He has given us a prophet, His Son. And thereby, He wants us to walk. Let's kneel for prayer. Gracious eternal Father in heaven, thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for your Word, the Bible. Thank you for the Holy Ghost that does teach us if we have our hearts clean, open. Thank you, Father, for guiding us, teaching us to trust you daily. We don't need to know about tomorrow. We don't need to know what will happen. But we do need to know that you are Lord of all, Lord of our lives, Lord of what happens tomorrow. And we can fully trust you without fear, walking in the fear of God. We love you, Father. Thank you for your word. Do teach us, Lord. And I pray, Father, do speak to anyone who is involved here or anyone listening to this message. Yes, they can be free through simply confessing, repenting, and acknowledging those abominations before the Lord. We thank you, Father, for the precious blood of Jesus to cleanse, to wash the stains of sin, the stains of sorcery, the stains of abominations from our souls. Oh, thank you, Father. And now, Lord, bless the congregation, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Very sobering. You know, to see what see the power of the devil and, you know, what he can do and how lives become captured and get into bondage through this power of witchcraft. I don't know if there's anyone here this morning who would need to, you know, who needs to maybe confess some things that you've been involved in this matter. Maybe you'd like to share openly with everyone, or if you feel like you need help, feel free to come to one of us after the service here. We'll gladly help you through to freedom in Christ Jesus from that evil power. You know, there is, as you heard from our brother, there is freedom. There is a through Christ Jesus, all those powers can be broken, the influence of them in your life, and the influence of them perhaps in your children. If you have been influenced by those powers, it can at times go down into the children. Very clear message for us in this day and age that we live in the midst of these things happening in our land. Just reminded of when Barb and I spent time in Africa, how real, you know, a heathen tribe is steeped in those things, and how real it is, how real that you can see the powers of darkness at work in a heathen tribe or an individual within that tribe. Barb and I had many, you know, quite a few experiences where it was very evident it was the powers of darkness bringing death to a man at times. Very dangerous, something we want to stay clear of as a congregation here. Okay, is there anyone that would care to give a testimony or maybe a confession on these lines? Ushers, can you get the mic and flip your hands up if you desire to share? Up front here. Others, put your hands up.
I just want to thank God for the message this morning and realize that it can be a bit negative, seem a bit negative to preach on all these things, but yeah, I think it's important. And just thankful this morning about the beautiful positive thing that we have in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And just how we really are on the winning side. And all these things that the devil comes to kill and steal and destroy, Jesus has come that we can have life. And I know Brother Emmanuel shared that, but just wanted to share a testimony that we don't need to be afraid. And I know we already heard all that, but it's just so exciting that the blood of Jesus Christ does cleanse us from all sin and all bondage. And I think that as believers, you know, there's people that want to be free. There's some that don't. But there's some that want to be free of the bondage that's in their life. And I was just challenged this morning of how I might be a channel. Where am I not submitting to the Lord, where He would like to use me or my life to be a channel for that freedom to come to somebody? Mm-hmm. Because here I sit with this gold mine and this treasure inside of me that I don't need to be afraid, and I know that. But what am I doing to share that message of hope and of freedom to those around me? And what is it that Christ wishes to do through me that I'm just sleeping and missing? Mm-hmm. And that's just the question that comes to my heart this morning. And I hope that God might show me if there's somewhere that I'm not being the instrument of freedom that He wants me to be.
Amen. Okay, others? Up front here.
I just want to testify that I have been guilty of some of these things in the past, and we did confess it after we left the Amish, or maybe it was just before that, I think. Quite a lot of those things, and it was just so good to be refreshed in that, and things that we want to stay free of. And I was really blessed at the end to think how free and pure a person can be through faith in Jesus, and that it's just a solid rock. Mm-hmm. We don't need to be afraid.
Amen.
We can just trust Him. We don't need to know what the future is. And it's just it just brings overwhelming gratitude to our Savior for what He has done. And I just glory in Him.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, sister. Brother Paul?
Yeah, I was thinking, I was reminded when I was in high school, our swim team had a banquet at the end of the year. And for the entertainment, they had a hypnotist. And just to see how the world thinks, it sort of makes light of it all. And he asked for a volunteer, somebody that he could hypnotize. And it was sort of kind of a joke, and he made him believe that an onion was an apple or something, so he ate the onion, sat there and ate it, and things like that. That young man, several years later, jumped in front of a train and killed himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, you know, how we can exactly pinpoint everything, but there's no question that someone who did that would be demonically oppressed or possessed. And I thought too about what kind of a person would volunteer to be a subject of that. In light of what we talked about last week about the simple fool, someone who's seducible, somebody who's just open. And he was that kind of a fellow. Yeah, sure, give it a try. Let's see what happens. And so it's good for us to hear these things so that we become wise, so that we're not seducible. We don't think it's a joke. And our young people especially are not going to be deceived, we trust, because it's not a joke. And people lose their life, people lose their soul by things like that. So thank you for that teaching today.
You're here. Up here, mic is needed.
I'm very thankful to live in a community where we have stores that have Christian merchants. And I'm very thankful that I had a mother that she preferred going to those kinds of stores. And I didn't understand why she had that kind of a conviction, but I've come to learn and appreciate that. And sometimes I think, oh, it costs more to go to this Christian or more upright store. And then I think, oh, but I feel so much cleaner coming out of there than I do some of the other places around. And I just thank God for the opportunity to support those kind of places.
Amen. Others to share?
I was talking to one of my friends a little while ago, one of the brothers going to Ephrata. He was saying how he was working, putting in windows in a certain house, and it was more in the city. And as he was working, there was You know, there was this boy, about a 10, 11-year-old boy, in the same room that he was in. And this boy would look innocent enough, but he said that this boy would sit in front of the television all day. You know, he worked there for quite a few hours. He said, every time I walked into the room, this boy was sitting and watching cartoons, which, you know, again, seemed innocent enough. And then he would vacillate between that and playing video games. He'd go back and forth. And said in the course of a couple hours, I'd walk back into the room and, you know, this boy is still going at it, you know, having nothing to do, wouldn't offer any help, you know, just sitting there and watching. And he said, I was turned away from him and I heard this sound behind me, kind of a weird groaning. He said, I turned around and this boy was stretched out, again, a 10, 11-year-old boy, stretched out on the couch with his eyes rolled back, you know, showing only the whites of his eyes and making these hideous, weird sounds. And he said, it suddenly struck me that this boy is obviously possessed. There's obviously something majorly wrong. And it was like Brother Emmanuel shared, the television, it comes across so much on the television that you would never know until it just enters through what you see, through what you hear. And if you get exposed to that and exposed to that, this boy never knew what hit him, never knew what happened to him. And the evils of the television suddenly became so real again. I think that was a good lesson and a good thing to remember, that things that seem so innocent in some sense, cartoons, you wouldn't think of, but they're wicked, evil. Thank you, brother.
Children, did you hear that? Be thankful for your parents, your Christian parents. You know, you might think are kind of strict sometimes. Be thankful. A testimony to my
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.